I want you to turn with me, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. And for some of the old school people, I'm going to be sharing out of the King James Version through most of this, praise God. So we're actually scriptural tonight and holy, hallelujah, praise God. Like one fellow said years ago, he said, if it was good enough for the Apostle Paul, it's good enough for me, hallelujah. But praise God. Hebrews chapter 11 is the great chapter of faith that the apostle is writing to the Hebrew Christians. And we get down here in verse 6, and God speaking through the apostle to the Hebrews, he brings something that is so pertinent to us and so valuable for us to grasp and understand. He says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I like that, diligently seek him. There's several things here that you got to get a hold of. He says, first of all, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So we're going to have to figure out where faith comes from and how to get it and how to operate in it. Amen? See, the Bible teaches everything operates through faith. In fact, faith is the currency of the kingdom of God. Somebody says, what do you mean the currency? Well, you know, in America, we have a currency that you have to use if you want to get things. It's called the dollar bill. Amen? It's money. And so if you go to a grocery store, that grocery store can have everything in that grocery store that you need to fix the meal that you're wanting. But guess what? You have to make an exchange. You have to do something to get it from the grocery store to your home, don't you? What do you have to do? You have to give them money and they give you the food. Isn't that right? So that money is the currency of this nation that transfers one thing from one place to another. Isn't that right? It takes it from one's possession and brings it to another's possession. Well, you've got to understand that faith is the currency of the kingdom of God. God has given us faith so we can take the blessings that he has provided for us that's in the kingdom and bring it into our lives and operate it in our lives. Amen? And so therefore, God has the blessing. He gives us faith. We take our faith. We give God our faith. God gives us the blessing. Are you hearing me? And that's why he says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. Because when you come to God, you have to come to God with some kind of currency to receive from him what he has said is yours. In other words, something has to take place. A transaction has to take place between you and God. And God says, the way you get that done is you bring your faith to me, and I will release my reward to you. Isn't that right? And in the kingdom of God, everything you'll ever need to walk in victory is yours. Hallelujah. And everything that you ever need has been provided for by the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. He's redeemed us from sin. The Bible tells us that when we make Jesus Lord, we come out from under the dominion of sin and darkness, and Jesus our Lord. We walk in righteousness. The Bible says he redeemed us from sickness and disease. By his stripes we were healed. Healing's in the kingdom of God. The Bible says that he was made to be the curse of poverty so we could walk in prosperity and victory and have provision. Amen? So prosperity and success and victory is God's will for us. And it's there. But how many of you found out just because it's there doesn't mean it's going to operate in your life? See, we just want to put it all on God. But God has done everything he's going to do. He's already sent his son. Jesus was born of the virgin. He lived a sinless life. He went on the cross, took mine and your curse upon himself. He went down into the very depths of the earth. He paid the penalty for our sin. He was raised victorious. And when he came out of the grave, he had the keys of death, hell, and the grave in his hand. And God declared him Lord. Amen? And so therefore, everything that the Lord has, he says, now is available to us. Every blessing, Ephesians 1 says over there that every blessing, all blessing, every heavenly blessing is now made available to us in Christ Jesus. But still the Lord says over here in Matthew chapter 6, he says that we have to still have to seek him first and put him first and ask and come after him if we're going to get it. Amen? And here in Hebrews 11, he says that if you're going to receive the reward of the blessing, then you have to come to God in faith, believing that he will do it for you. Isn't that right? In other words, God's not just going to dump it on you like a ripe cherry falling off of a tree in the springtime. Amen? You're going to have to shake the tree. Hallelujah. Well, is God holding it back? No. But at the same time, he's not going to override you and make it come on you. Somebody says, I just don't believe that. Well, how did you get saved? Did God chase you down, beat you with a salvation sword? Make you get saved? No. You had to come to him, didn't you? You had to pursue God. And in other words, God pursued you through Jesus Christ on the cross, and then the Holy Spirit convicts you, but still yet you have to come to the Lord. Isn't that right? Because you see, you have to become a believer for these things to operate in your life. In fact, I wasn't going to turn there, but I do want to. Go to John's Gospel, the third chapter. I was just going to read to you out of the Amplified, but I want you to see something here. He says in Hebrews 11, 6, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. So we got to know what faith is. Then he says, for he that comes to God must believe he is. In other words, everything that you're going to get from God begins with you believing God is. I'm going to prove it to you. So you can't have faith without a relationship with the Lord. You can't have victory in your life without having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when you come to God, you have to believe He is God. Isn't that right? I have to believe that Jesus is Lord. I literally believe. I wasn't there, didn't see it. I wasn't a part of the crowd that cheered and jeered or whatever, but I believe it. I believe that Jesus literally died on the cross for me. I believe that they took his body down, put it in the grave, but I believe his spirit went down into the depths of hell, and there he paid the penalty for you and me. I wasn't there to see it. I believe that on that third morning, whenever the Passover was over and it was time for Jesus to come out, God said, today thou art my son, and Jesus was born of the spirit into the depths of hell and was raised up by the glory of God and made King of kings and Lord of lords. I wasn't there when it happened. I wasn't there when the tomb shook and the door rolled away. I wasn't there with the soldiers when they came running and left. I wasn't there when Peter and John ran into the tomb, but I believe it. Hallelujah. Somebody says, how do you believe it? Because I've had an experience with Jesus myself. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? And Jesus speaking to Thomas whenever, you know, he had appeared to the disciples, and Thomas said, if I don't see the prints in his hands, if I don't see the nail prints and the sword and all the wounds, I'm not going to believe. And then Jesus appears a little bit later on, and John says that whenever Thomas saw him, Thomas said, Jesus, Lord, God, Savior, woo, hallelujah. And Jesus looked at Thomas and says, Thomas, because you have seen, you believe. But blessed are those who haven't seen and will believe. Hallelujah. I want to get in on the blessing. And to get in on the blessing, I've got to believe in the Lord, even though I can't see Him yet. One day I'm going to. Hallelujah. It's like they said, you know, when the first Russian cosmonauts went up into space, and they were trying to beat us into space, and you know, and when they were up there, one of the cosmonauts' famous words was, I looked out the window of the spaceship, and I didn't see God. And a famous preacher said, if he'd opened up that window, he would have. Amen. But then it would be too late, wouldn't it? Because you see, I want to see him because I believe. I don't want to, you know, see him and then believe. Hallelujah. But here in John chapter 3, let me show you the importance of having that believing relationship with Jesus to move you into a place of faith. He says, there was a man of the Pharisees, verse 1, named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. In other words, this is a religious person. It says, the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that you do except God be with him. In other words, he recognizes that Jesus is a mighty man of God. He recognizes he's sent from God. He's got a religious concept. He sees God, but he can't figure it out. He's having a hard time. We know you're from God, but we don't know how this was working. You know, the Lord Jesus answers him pretty rough, and he says this, Jesus answered and said unto him, assuredly I say to you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, the Amplified in that verse says it like this, Jesus answered him, assure you, most solemnly, I tell you that unless a person is born again, anew from above, he cannot ever see, know, or be acquainted with and experience the kingdom of God. That's powerful, isn't it? In other words, he's saying if there's something doesn't happen on the inside of you, you're never going to be able to experience this. You're never going to be able to see this. You're never going to be able to perceive it. You're never going to have a revelation of it. And you're never going to experience the true kingdom of God until there's something happens on the inside of you in your heart. Amen. And Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? See, he's still thinking natural. See, we think that we have to have this natural feeling, touchy, whatever, you know, with God. And you know, if I can't see him, if I can't feel him, how can I know he's doing something for me? And notice something else that Nicodemus is doing. Nicodemus is coming out under the cover of night. I'm going to tell you something, folks. You cannot secretly want to believe in God. You can out here with everybody else, you know, be a religious person. Yeah, I believe in God. And then secretly try to live for the Lord. You can't do it. See, and that's what the Lord is speaking to Nicodemus about. He's saying, son, well, you're with the mindset you've got, you'll never experience the kingdom of God. You'll never have a revelation of it. You'll never see it. It'll never be real to you. The things of God will always be a mystery to you because you're trying to do it through physical things and you're trying to do it in your own way. And it don't work that way. And so he goes on and he says this, Jesus answered, verily I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. The water is the Word, the Spirit is the anointing of God, the Holy Ghost. So he's saying you got to believe God according to the water of his Word and by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's a spiritual thing. Then he says this, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. What's he saying? He's saying there's a natural life and there's a spiritual life. And things that are born in the flesh, they're the flesh life. In other words, you have certain characteristics because you were born the way you are. The family you were born in, where you were raised, what you do, the color of your eyes. You didn't pick any of that stuff out. You came into this world like you are. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. But he says, you do have a choice over what's born of the Spirit. You didn't have a choice in who you are in this world naturally, but you have a choice in who you can become and who you are in God's kingdom. And that comes by this. It doesn't come by being religious. It doesn't come by going through the motions. It doesn't come by just trying to do it when nobody's looking. It is a true change of heart on the inside of you by being born of the Spirit of God, accepting God according to his word, and making Jesus Lord of your life. Amen? It's like one time I read the story about an atheist. He decided, he was an atheist professor at a college, and he decided he wanted to challenge one of the evangelists that was traveling through having great meetings at a church to a debate about whether there is a God. And so the atheist got up and he gave his all of his speech on why there was no God, and he went over and said, if you can beat that, do it, preacher, and he sat down. And so the preacher walked up and took him a orange and peeled it back, laid his peelings on the pole, pulled a piece of the orange out and took him a bite. Then he reached over and took another slice of the orange, you know, because they come in, you know, little pieces. He took another piece of that orange and cut him another bite. And by this time, the atheist professor is getting really upset. Did we come here to eat lunch or did we come here to debate? So he just got him another piece of his orange, took him another bite. And finally, the atheist professor looked at him and says, what's wrong, preacher? Don't have anything to say? He says, I just ask you one question. He goes, what is that? He says, what's this orange taste like? The atheist says, how could I know? I've never tasted that orange. How could I ever know what that orange really tastes like if I don't get a bite of it? He goes, point made. Unless you make Jesus Lord, experience the Spirit of God and the Word of God and give your heart to him by faith, you'll never see the kingdom of God. So there's no use me debating you in the natural, because there's no debate in the natural. It's all in the spiritual, and you've got to experience it for yourself to be able to see it. And so therefore, we are told by the Lord, except you be born again, you can't see this. You can't experience this. You can't walk in this. You cannot until you believe God is. So the first step of us walking in victory and making the exchange to get the reward of the blessing of God is this. We have to have an experience with God ourselves. We have to call upon him and receive him in our heart by faith. How do I do that? Look in Romans chapter 10. Wasn't going to take a lot of time on this, but I was praying this afternoon. The Lord said, take a little extra time on this first part. Romans chapter 10, look what he says over here, verses 8, 9, and 10. Here the Apostle Paul is writing to the church and he says, but what saith it? The word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith we preach. The word of faith we preach. It's in your heart and it's in your mouth. It's a faith word. It's, in other words, you have to accept it by faith. You have to trust it. You just have to reach out and grab a hold of it, whether you can feel anything or not. That's faith. Faith is trusting in God when there's nothing there that you can grab a hold of. There's nothing there that can tell you that it's going to happen other than God's promise. And he says, here's how the word of faith works, that if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Notice it's a heart thing. goes right along with what the Lord Jesus told Nicodemus. He says, you got to believe it in your heart. It's got to be a spiritual thing. If you don't believe it in your heart and get this in your heart, you can't see it. You'll never experience it. You can't perceive it. You can't walk in. You can't participate in it. It's a faith thing. And I built it upon the Word of God. See, I have to believe when the Bible tells me that Jesus is the Son of God. I've got to believe that. I've got to believe that when the Bible tells me that He lived a sinless life so that He could be my example and be my high priest and help me through those same problems. Because if He could overcome them, He could help me to overcome them. Amen? Then I have to believe that Jesus Christ literally went on the cross for me, that He was the Lamb of God that came to take away the sin of the world. Then I've got to believe that He really did die, that He was the Son of God, but He gave His life for me on Calvary cross, and that He was buried. And I've got to believe that, praise God, He was raised from the dead. And I've got to believe it not because I feel it or I see it or because it's out here. I've got to believe it because the Bible tells me so. I believe the reports of Peter and John. I believe the revelations that God gave the Apostle Paul. I believe these things, amen? And I base my eternity on what I believe. Not on what I see, not what I feel, not how life's treating me right now. But I build my faith upon my belief that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And if I believe it in my heart and confess Him as my Lord, He comes into my life and I become a child of God, amen? I become a son of God. Look what He says back over here in Romans chapter 8. Look what He says. Let's read down here in verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Notice He doesn't say those that are led by what they can see or feel, what natural things are going on around, but those who allow God to have influence in their life. Those who let God speak to them and lead them. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry out, Abba, Father. He says, listen, you don't have to be afraid to follow God. He's a good God. And He sent His Spirit into your heart, and you've been brought in His family, and He's brought you out of just Him being God to being your Father. And Jesus already taught us. What's important about this? Jesus already taught us both in Matthew and Luke that if you earthly fathers being evil know how to give good things to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good things to His children who ask Him? Amen. I believe that. And you and I have to grab a hold of that and put it in our life, praise God. And we begin to walk in these things. Look what He says then once I make Jesus Lord. Look in Romans chapter 12. Romans 12 verse 3. Somebody says, how do I get to faith? Well, we get to faith through our relationship with the Lord by believing He is. Amen? And accepting Him in our heart and taking that step of faith and confessing Him as our Lord and declaring His Lordship over our life. Notice it isn't enough just to believe. Somebody says, what do you mean? He didn't say that you get saved just because you believe. He said, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness. In other words, it's your believing in your heart that gets you to a place where righteousness or right standing with God can come to you. But it is your confession of the Lordship of Jesus that moves you into that righteousness. Meaning what? No secret Christians. This nation has had enough of secret I spy Christians. This nation needs a group of people that believes God is and will put his name on their lips and speak out for Him and stand up and not be afraid or ashamed to declare that Jesus is my Lord. Why don't you drink? Why don't you smoke? Why don't you go get high? Why don't you cheat on this one or do that one? Why don't you steal? Why don't you? Well, you know, those temptations are out there. Well, why don't you do all these other things that you see people doing? Because I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And that He died for my sins, and God raised Him from the dead, and I've made Him the Lord of my life. And therefore, I'm being led by the Spirit, not by the things that are around me. I choose to believe He is. You won't be asked that question very many times if you'll make the right answer. Are you listening to me? Because God will work with you. Now, Romans 12:3, look what He says. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Who's He dealt faith to? Every born-again child of God. Hallelujah. Now all of a sudden, Hebrews 11:6 starts jumping out of the Bible and becoming a great blessing to me because now it's not a problem to me. It's an answer to me on how I'm going to get my healing tonight. It's an answer to me on how I'm going to get my needs met this week. It's an answer to me on how I'm going to get my miracle in my life. It's the answer to me on how am I going to get victory in my life. Because you see, when I asked Jesus in my heart and I made a commitment to Christ, I was born again, born of the Spirit. And therefore, I have been given now the measure of a God kind of faith. God has now given me faith. So when Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it's impossible to please Him, that doesn't bother me at all because I've got faith. Amen. I'm not trying to get faith. When I made Jesus my Lord, He gave me faith. Are you listening to me? See, the devil wants to beat us up. Well, you'll never get anything from God. You don't have any faith. Are you born again? Yeah, you got faith. Point at yourself and say, I've got faith. Ooh, glory to God. You're a faith person. Hallelujah. How do you become a faith person? When you made Jesus Lord of your life, He put faith in your heart. Why did He put that faith in your heart? Let's read on. But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God, He gave you faith so that when you come to God, you can come to God in the right attitude. What's the right attitude? He that cometh to God must believe that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. My faith tells me that God will do for me what He said He would do for me in His Word. And if I come to God based on His Word, God will do for me what He said His Word would do. Amen? God has bound Himself to His will, and His will is delivered to us through His Word. See, faith, Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. In other words, the moment I hear the word, I should have faith for that. Are you hearing me? Because if I believe the word brings it with faith to get that word. In other words, 1 Peter 2:24, whose own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. When you hear that and it gets in you and you really hear it and you receive it, then the faith to have that healing comes to you because that word delivers you the faith to get it. Amen. And so therefore I begin to believe He is my healer. Why? Because He said He is. And I also not only believe He is my healer, I believe that if I come to Him in faith, He will heal me. Amen. Then I read, you know, how about Philippians 4:19? But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I was like, whoa, God said He'd meet all my needs. All my needs. Not just barely getting along. All my needs. Woo, hallelujah. All of a sudden, I believe that God's my provider. And I come to Him according to what He says because He always acts on His will. And therefore, I come to God and believe He is my provider. And therefore, I believe I receive the reward. And the reward is my provision is going to come to me through God's grace and mercy. Amen. See, I'm operating in faith. How am I operating in faith? I'm a child of God. You know why a fish does so well in water? He was made for that place. Amen? I mean, he's natural there. I mean, there's no problem for him. You know why a lot of us are having problems? We're kind of like the guy that puts that big heavy weight suit on, whatever, and they got one hose that goes up and somebody has to pump oxygen to him. He's totally out of his element. If the guy up on the boat turns the pump off, he turns real all kinds of shades of color. Amen? Because he's not operating in his environment. That's why religious people have a hard time getting the blessing of God, because they've got a wetsuit on and they've got all this other stuff that's providing them oxygen, and they're walking around out of their environment. You know what they need to be? They need to be transformed into a fish. Hallelujah. Out in the world, we don't have a problem acting out in the world because that's our environment. But when we make Jesus Lord, we should not have a problem operating in the kingdom of God, because now that's our environment. Out in the world, we operate in fear and doubt. That's our environment. But now we've made Jesus Lord, we should be operating in faith and love and victory. Hallelujah. Because that's our environment. We're made for this. Hallelujah. You're made to get your prayers answered. You're made to move mountains. You're made to see things happen in your life. You're made to make a difference because God has made you a part of His family and given you faith so that you can move mountains and do things in your life. That's the rest of our looks at. How you do that? I was made for this. He created me for this. I'm a child of God. I live. This is how I live. Hallelujah. Well, I can't see it. I can show you how to see it. You want to experience it? You want to perceive it, see it? You got to get in the kingdom before you can see it. Amen. Amen. So we invite him into the Lord. We can bring him into our realm. Amen. Look in Mark's Gospel 11. Mark chapter 11. Let me look at just a couple of scriptures here and we'll tie this up. See, we've been made of God to be believers. And that's great because in Mark 16, the Bible says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. Oh, got cold in here just now. Yeah, I'm talking about you. In Mark chapter 16, Jesus said that we're to be proclaimers of the gospel and that we're not to go out and beat people with it. We're not to go out and make them get saved. But we're to go out and let them see it in our life and tell them about it. He said, some will receive it, some won't. He said, but I'll tell you what will happen. Every person that believes, they'll have signs following their life. I'll work in your life. I'll show people that you're my child. I'll use you to be a blessing to them. I'll use you to make a difference in situations so that even though some of them don't believe, they'll see me working in your life. And because they see me working in your life, they'll want me in their life. Are you listening to me? It's called learning who we are in Christ and moving over into this. I'm a believer. I believe he is. And I believe he rewards me. And I've got faith to get the reward in my life. Verse 22, Mark chapter 11 says this. And Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. One translator said, have the God kind of faith, or the faith that God has. The Amplified says, have faith in God constantly. I like that. Amen. Have constant faith in God. You know what that word faith there simply means? Have constant trust in God. Just trust God in everything. Just put your trust in Him. Just believe in Him. Just believe He's going to get you through this thing. Hallelujah. Amen. And then the Lord tells you what you have to do to operate your faith. He says, verse 22, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he'll have whatever he says. You know, Jesus gives you faith. And he gives you that faith so you can stand up against life's problems. Notice in Mark 11, 22, Jesus says, first of all, have faith in God. Well, how do I get faith in God? Well, I have to have a relationship with Jesus. Amen. Can't be religious. I've got to be righteous. Hallelujah. And I've got to believe he is. And when I believe he is, he gives me faith, doesn't he? And so therefore, the Lord says, now before you start doing any of this, have faith in God. Right? Don't go face your problem until you've gotten settled in your heart that you got faith and trust in God. Notice verse 22 comes before verse 23. Verse 22 is your relationship with the Lord. Verse 23 is you walking in your relationship with the Lord to move the problem out of your life. Don't go fighting your mountain until you know that God's on your side. Are you listening to me? But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Before you do anything, you got to believe he is. And then that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. In other words, I don't put an action towards my problem until I believe he is with me. Are you hearing me? So Jesus says, now before you go face your mountain, before you go face your problem, before you go deal with a situation that's trying to defeat you and bring you down, make sure that you have come to the Lord and you believe he is and that you put your trust in him. Believe that God is your God and believe that he's going to get you through this thing. And then you believe it so much that your faith now is going to determine your actions and your words. How do I know if I've got faith in God? What have you been saying to the mountain? Ooh, you are a big mountain. No, that ain't faith in God. Man, this problem is about to kill me. No, you don't have faith in God. Because you see, if I have faith in God, I'm going to say to the problem what God would say to it if he was there. Amen? What would God say to it? Well, if you've been shredding your Bible, you would know what God would say to it. Hallelujah. Amen? Because from Genesis to Revelation is God saying to the mountain. God dealing with problems. And so what are we going to do? We're going to believe he is. And then we're going to turn our mountain and we're going to say, you're going to bow in Jesus' name. You're getting out of my life. You're not controlling me another second. I declare Jesus Lord over this. And Lord, I thank you for coming through for me and giving me the victory. Amen? Because my faith in my God is determining my attitude, my actions, and my words that I'm declaring in my crisis moment. Everybody else may be against me, but God is for me. Everybody else may be saying he's going down, but I'm saying I'm going up. Hallelujah. Everybody else may say he ain't going to make it, but I'm saying I'm going to make it because God says I am. Amen? Why? Because before I ever stepped into this fight, I made sure I had faith in God. I made sure that my faith and my stand was upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let's look down at verse 24 and see what he says. He says, therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Now, I want you to see something here. I read this out of the King James for a purpose. It says, whatever things you desire. Most of the translations don't have the word desire. But that word desire there means also to ask, means to crave, means to hunger for, means to call out. Are you listening to me? So what's he saying here? He's saying the first step to your faith, once you believe he is, once you decide you're going to go after your problem, is this. You have to desire it. Do you really desire a change in your life? Are you really calling out to God? Are you ready to call out to God? Are you really, do you crave a change in that situation? See, a lot of times the reason we get defeated is we don't really desire it. We just hoping maybe so, could be. But you see, there has to be a real heart's desire for change before there's going to be a change. Are you hearing me? How many of you have dealt with, you know, I've over the years, I've lost probably 1,000 pounds. Everybody says, you look thinner, Pastor. I said, well, I should. I probably lost about 500 pounds. Somebody said, how'd you do that? I said, over the last 40 years, I guarantee I've lost at least 500-600 pounds. I just keep going back and finding them. Why? Because, you know, I had to work on the desire. How many of you know that even the older you get, the more harder it is to desire to get up and go exercise? Amen? Why am I doing this, Lord? I forget. Praise God. You have to remind yourself of the benefit that comes with it. You know what the benefit is of walking in health? You don't feel sick. You don't feel down. You don't feel hurt. You don't feel pain. So you know what you should be doing? You should be going to God, reestablishing that he is your Lord. He's your healer. And then you should say, Lord, I desire this with everything in me. I'm not just going to play on this. I'm not just going to come to you just haphazardly. I'm coming out of a desire, a motivation that I want this done in my life. That's how faith works. It starts with a true desire. Somebody says, I don't know if desire is like that is right in my life. Well, let me give you a scripture, Psalm 37. I'm going to hurry here and give this to you. Wasn't going to quote it, but I think it'd be good for us to read it. Actually, there's a few verses here. Psalm 37, drop down here in verse 4. He says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Somebody says, how do I know if my desire's right? Have you been delighting yourself in the Lord? Have you been spending time with God? The more time you spend with God, the more faith you're going to have in God. Amen? And listen, the closer you get to God, the bigger he is. I was reading this somewhere. Somebody posted, I think, but again, it was talking about the little boy asked his daddy, Daddy, how big is God? And he said, he pointed up in the sky and there was a jet flying across. He says, he's that big. He says, well, that's little. But then he drove him out to the airport and they pulled up to that big old ship, you know, flying airplane. He said, you know, big passenger. And he said, look at this plane. He goes, man, that's a big plane. He says, that's the same plane we saw earlier. He goes, why is it so big here? He says, because it's just like God. The farther you are away from God, the smaller he looks. But the closer you get to God, the bigger he gets. Are you listening? If you're out here away from God, you got small faith in him. But if you're up close to God, you got big faith in him because he's bigger than your problem. Amen? And so this is the thing. He says, delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Look what this next verse reads. It goes this way. Commit your way unto the Lord. Trust in him, and he will bring it to pass. Woo, glory to God. In other words, God's not going to give you a desire for something that he won't make happen in your life. Amen. Come on, church. You need to get a hold of this. Hallelujah. Get excited about it. Amen. If God put a desire in my heart, it's because God desires to bring it to pass.
That's right.
My desire to have it has to be as strong as His desire for me to have it. Amen. So I spend time with Him. What's the second thing you're going to have to do here? He says, verse 24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, guess what? You have to pursue it. Desiring is not enough. You got to go to God. Remember what Hebrews 11:6 said? That you got to come to God and believe He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You got to come to God. You got to pray. You got to ask. You got to pursue it. You got to want it so bad that you're willing to pursue it with all that's in you. Amen? Then what's the third thing He says here in verse 24? He says, what things ever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them. What's that mean? That means that, praise God, I believe God is a good God, and I believe I receive what He said I could have. I don't see it yet, don't feel it yet, but I believe I got it. I believe God is doing this for me. Amen? You know what the fourth thing is? You shall have. You know what that means? I'm going to enter into rest, because you know what? I've desired it. I've asked for it. I believe God's doing it for me. Now I'm going to put it in His hands and let Him work it out. Amen? I'm just going to enter into rest and let God do this for me. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to fuss about it. In fact, if the thought hits my mind, I'm going to cast it down and just praise God and say, Lord, I thank You. You said if I would desire it, ask You for it, believe I received it, You would have it. So I'm going to get it. Amen? And Lord, I thank You that You are a rewarder of those who diligently seek You, and I believe I receive the reward of my faith. Because you see, if I go to the grocery store and I bring my shopping cart up and they ring out and they run everything through and they got the groceries that I'm asking them for and they give me a certain price and I can pull the money out of my pocket and put it down on the thing, guess what? I walk out of there with my reward. My reward is my money bought me groceries to eat this week. Amen? Huh? The store cannot stop me from taking those groceries out of the store. People out in the parking lot can't say to me, you don't have a right to that. You got to take that back. That's the grocery store. No. It was the grocery stores. But you see, I made an exchange. I gave them my money for their food, and now it's my food. They got my money. I got their food. Isn't that right? Guess what? That healing was God's. That miracle was God's. That breakthrough was God's. But I took my faith and gave my faith to God. He gave me my miracle and breakthrough. Now, therefore, He's got my faith. I got His miracle. Come on. I just made an exchange. Hallelujah. I just gave Him my sorrows and He gave me His joy. I just took my hurts to Him and He gave me my healing. I just took my insecurities to Him and He gave me my victories. Hallelujah. I just took my past and gave it to Him and He gave me His future. Hallelujah. I made an exchange with God through faith in Him, and God is working it out in my life. Amen.